I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. From 1947 to 1959, Philadelphia was called the national cleanest town, named by the quaint-sounding National Cleanup, Paintup, Fix-Up Bureau. An article ran in the January 30th, 1952 edition of the New York Times, announcing that Philadelphia and Memphis received a joint award for being the cleanest cities in the country. That was from the National Paint, Varnish, and Lacquer Association. Well, that was then. This is now. Sadly, today, Philadelphia is better known as Filthydelphia because of its trash-strewn streets, sidewalks, lots, parks. It's everywhere. A bit later in the show, I'll be talking with Nick Esposito. He's the Zero Waste and Litter Director for the City of Philadelphia about government efforts to deal with this problem. One of the differences between then and now was a street sweeping program, something that our guest Ryan Grimm has written about. He's a reporter here at WHYY and joins us on Radio Times. And Ryan, nice to have you with us at WHYY as an employee, and nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Describe your street, and these are questions I'm going to put to our other guests as well, but describe the street where you live in Philadelphia.
I live in South Philadelphia on a commercial street, or a mostly commercial street, and like a lot of people who live in South Philadelphia in particular, litter is a big deal.
A big deal meaning that it's what? It's everywhere? It's pervasive?
When you live on a commercial street in Philadelphia, there's not usually waste baskets or places for people to put litter. So they will put it in any place they can find, if that's the ground or if it means somebody has, you know, their recycling bin out front, they'll chuck it in there. If there's an old telephone booth, people will jam their trash into the telephone booth.
There's still telephone booths in South Philly?
Well, there's the sockets where they used to be.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, and that is what it's like. I mean, I think a lot of people in South Philly can get the mental picture of, you know, litter kind of in the gutter. It sits there until a neighbor comes out and cleans it up.
Well, it's interesting to compare then and now. I mean, I just read a couple of articles going back to the 1950s and even before, when Philadelphia was known as a moderately, relatively clean city. What was happening back then perhaps isn't happening now.
I think at its height, the city's streets department, which is in charge of sanitation, employed something like 5,000 employees, far more that were devoted to sanitation than today. You had people, and we're talking 50 or 60 years ago or right, even earlier, that would go out and clean streets by hand. You had three-person trash truck crews, which usually included a third person who would follow the truck and sweep up when they would do trash collection on certain days. And what you saw in the later part of the 20th century is federal grant funding for cities diminishing, general belt tightening in a lot of cities, the winnowing down of sanitation crews like that. But it wasn't until the 2000s that the city completely did away with regular street sweeping in pretty much every part of the city. And that, ironically, had to do more with parking issues than with budget cuts or anything like that.
Compare Philadelphia to other cities, then. Do other cities of similar size have street sweeping programs?
Yeah, I mean, of the 20 largest cities, Philadelphia is the only one that lacks a regular citywide street sweeping program. When you look at the 50 largest cities, I think there's maybe one or two that don't do it on a regular basis. But Philadelphia is a real outlier, especially when you get into large, dense cities where litter becomes kind of a fact of life because there's just so many people living in, you know, kind of smaller,
in crowded
right,
areas. Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence that Philadelphians are more likely to litter their streets and sidewalks than other people living in other cities?
I don't know if anyone has ever studied the issue closely. I mean, I would have a tendency to say that if there was a difference, it probably has more to do with the fact that the city is generally litter strewn, mm-hmm, and that in and of itself is probably a reason for the average person to say, well, why does it matter if I litter or not? You could apply some of what they would call like a broken windows, you know, theory to it, where people are more likely to want to, you know, to engage in negative behavior in places where it's clear, right, negative behavior is accepted.
That litter begets litter, in a sense.
Yeah, but this is a non-scientific take on it, right? I mean, that's just my feeling.
You mentioned trash cans. I mean, are there enough trash cans in the city? Are there enough bins? Mm-hmm. Are there enough places where people could dump their trash if they wanted to?
The city, some time ago, I think, went down a path where they felt that because of an issue of residents dumping their household trash in street receptacles, that was behavior that they couldn't really cope with, and that it would be better to strip out waste baskets from a lot of major streets rather than try to have crews deal with the fact that some people were putting in all the trash from their apartment out. So on a lot of major streets in Philadelphia, you just don't have waste baskets anymore. And that's not everywhere. I mean, we obviously do it in some places, but we don't do it in a lot of neighborhoods.
We're going to talk about this more a little bit later in the show with our other two guests who are listening here with us. But let's talk about street sweeping. What are the politics involved? And I should say that the mayor of Philadelphia was on recently talking about former Councilman DiCicco, who wanted street sweeping, and somehow there was a revolt, in a sense, from people saying, I'm getting tickets because I'm moving my car to make room for street sweeping. Help us understand some of the politics there.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what, you know, Mayor Kenney has said, which is he's said this to me. He said it on air with you recently that, you know, people like former Councilman Frank DiCicco, who was a South Philly council member, you know, had almost lost reelection over the street sweeping issue, because back in the, you know, kind of final years that this was happening in places where parking is tighter, like South Philadelphia, you had people who were upset about getting ticketed on the days of the week when they were supposed to move their cars.
To make room for the street sweepers.
Room for the street sweepers, right. And so it became, you know, at least in Kenny's retelling, Kenny is, you know, close associate of DiCicco, he is from South Philadelphia as well. You know, that was so politically intolerable that this, you know, Democrat in a safe Democratic district almost lost reelection.
Did he almost lose reelection, though?
No. I mean, I don't think so. But it's not to necessarily say that there's nothing to the idea that people in South Philadelphia have lots of very deeply held opinions about parking. I mean, parking is hard in South Philadelphia.
Sure.
The question, I think, becomes more one of what are the priorities for, you know, a city or a neighborhood? I mean, is it more important to, you know, deal with parking issues over basic sanitation or not? And I mean, that's something that I think, you know, the mayor has to grapple with, that residents have to grapple with.
But it is interesting to think of other cities that seem to have street sweeping, and obviously people are going to have to move their cars to figure out how to get the street sweeper through. Mm-hmm. And yet, is it, do you think, a uniquely Philadelphia problem that residents don't like this?
I mean, the counterexample is usually cities that just do it that ostensibly have worse parking problems than a place like Philadelphia. So, you know, New York City sweeps its streets and has alternate side of the street parking for street cleaning and things of that nature. So, you know, the people will say sometimes they can do it there, mm-hmm. they can do it anywhere. I mean, Baltimore is similar to Philadelphia in some respects, and Baltimore does it. They have regular street sweeping. So I think there's a tendency to have this kind of Philadelphia like exceptionalism when people talk about the problem. Oh, people in Philly, they're just, you know, right. kind of inclined to litter more than everybody else in the world. And, street sweeping would never work here because we have these parking issues in places like South Philadelphia. And I think in general, a lot of that is a way of just kind of, you know, ducking the issue itself.
What do you think it would take to restart a program like this, though? If it doesn't exist now, mm-hmm. how do you restart it?
Well, I mean, it would depend on kind of what people wanted to get out of it. I mean, like you're saying, you know, you'd use mechanical sweepers, the kind that drive down the street. That's going to involve a parking situation. It's going to involve ticketing for enforcement, maybe. There are alternatives. You can use sidewalk sweepers, which are much more expensive, but it doesn't involve, you know, the same kind of parking struggles that people have talked about in the past. I think, you know, in general for the city to, you know, lay out a plan for, you know, pilot program or something like that, to, you know, try these different strategies out, you know, that would be something great to start on. But for the past, you know, decade or so or more, since we've kind of jettisoned the last remnants of the street sweeping program, there hasn't really been much of a clear timeline or, you know, even the city saying, here's what we're thinking about as a replacement.
The question, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, whether is this a government responsibility? Is this a resident or a citizen responsibility? But I wanted to about public service announcements. Mm-hmm. I mean, people know they shouldn't litter.
Mm-hmm. You're asking, is it fair to expect residents to?
In part, yes, yeah. To do their part, or however we might define that.
Yeah, I mean, people shouldn't litter, but I think it gets back to part of, you know, the expectation, the reasonable expectation that one could have in a situation where the city isn't really providing like baseline service, to expect people to do that. Like, I think it, kind of a fair analogy would be like if the city stopped plowing the streets or something and then said, hey,
in a snowstorm
and said, hey, you guys all have shovels. You sweep the, you know, you clean snow off the sidewalks. Why don't you clean it off the streets? If everybody, you know, just pitched in, we would clear all the snow off. I mean, the city wouldn't have to spend any money on plowing streets. I mean, there's a similar kind of element to it where the city gave up, you know, its kind of end of this, and then said to everybody else, now you pick up the slack. And I think, you know, you can say that, but we've been saying that for, you know, 10 or 15 years now, and I don't know if we've really seen much efficacy. Like, this, you know, litter is still a big problem, and it doesn't seem like it's really changed that much since we suspended basic street sweeping. And again, notably, like, neighborhoods that have business improvement districts, or that have, you know, other kinds
like
of resources.
Like the Center City District,
like Center City District or parts of South Philly and elsewhere, you know, they just pay for private street sweeping. So if a community has private resources to do it, they do it. But if a neighborhood doesn't, because people are living in poverty, they don't have the time, the money, the whatever to set it up, you start to see these inequalities, right? And that's I think, the reality of saying this needs to totally be citizen-driven, where people who have the kind of luxury to deal with a problem like this will deal with it, and people who don't are just forced to live with litter.
You've been writing about this even before you came to WHYY.
Yeah,
you've been
correct.
Writing about this for some time now. Mm-hmm. Why does it matter so much to you?
I would say that it is more a reflection of just how shocked I was to, like, I think a lot of people are shocked to find out some of the aspects of, you know, this problem that Philly, you know, used to sweep the streets on a regular basis, that Philly used to be regarded as a pretty clean city, that a lot of Philadelphia's peer cities do this stuff, that it isn't necessarily super expensive to do, and that we didn't even stop doing it because it was too expensive. It was more because of the inability to kind of grapple with the inconvenience factor for residents in certain areas. And so that, to me, has just always been kind of an interesting thing to think about. And also in the scale of citywide problems, this is one of the few ones, I think, where, you know, there are some pretty clear solutions.
Well, we're going to pick up on that after this very short break. Ryan Grimm, thanks for coming in.
Briggs.
Ryan.
Briggs.
Briggs. Oh, my God. And we work together.
Yeah. Well, I just
Why
started.
Did I do that? Oh, I know who Ryan Grimm is. Ryan Briggs. Thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. And we will carry on this conversation after this very short break. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. And we've been talking about Philadelphia's litter problems, neighborhoods grappling with garbage strewn streets, sidewalks, and lots. You can visit other cities, and you can see why Philadelphia is often called Filthy-delphia. Wasn't always that way. Once known as the cleanest city in America, we're talking about what happened and what can be done to fix the problem. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney was a guest on the show last month, and he talked about his frustration with the dirty streets.
But there are some neighborhoods that, and I ride through, and I get this, I get upset, disgusted with it, and I call out a crew to get it up. But people are just dumping their stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, construction debris, their couch, a refrigerator. It's really an epidemic that I don't understand. First, secondly, we're trying to figure out how we physically do it on a regular basis without having a revolt of people who don't want to move their cars. I mean, I think in Manhattan they move their cars twice a week. It doesn't seem to bother them.
Kenny was referencing a street sweeping program that reportedly angered residents because they had to move their cars, something that our first guest, Ryan Briggs, was discussing. Joining us now, Nick Esposito. He is the Zero Waste and Litter Director for the City of Philadelphia. Nick, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Also with us, Mike Newell, and he's a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Mike, nice to have you back with us as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome.
Happy to be here.
Nice to have you both here. And we got lots of people that want to join our conversation. But let me give out the various ways you can join us. You can call us 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Nick, let me begin with you. We heard from Ryan about a Philadelphia that had a street sweeping program that seemed to deal with some of the problems that we're dealing with today. Is the city ready to restart this program?
And, you know, that was one of the recommendations that were in the Zero Waste and Litter Action Plan that was released August of 2017. I was on the show to discuss that, so thank
right.
you for that.
Sure.
And, again, that's part of the recommendations that we're working to. But first, to kind of start off with just kind of breaking down Ryan's argument, I've seen this argument before, and I take issue with a lot of things that were just put out with it. So the first is that the city doesn't do any street sweeping, and that's not true. And I do appreciate that Ryan, you know, talked about the lack of funding that came as, you know, the later part of the 20th century. I also want to remind there's this, you know, little thing that happened in the mid-2000s called the Great Recession, which hit cities extremely hard. A lot of the fleet of our street sweeper trucks had to go away because of that. So we were under the gun there. But even with that, we still sweep streets. The streets department does about 50,000 miles every year. We're sweeping on major corridors. South Broad Street gets it. Overnight, we're doing the Parkway. We're doing Lincoln Drive.
Is that on a regular basis?
On a regular weekly basis, we do that. The reason people don't see it is because it's overnight or it happens at 7 o'clock in the morning and people don't see that it's happening. We also, through our Commerce Department, and Ryan kind of brought this up and made it more of an equity issue, we fund those CDCs and those commercial corridors to do the street cleaning that happens on those. So it's not completely private. We are funding through a city to make that happen. So we are street sweeping, and that does happen, and we do. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about plans to improve it. The other thing I was going to say is, I do think it sets an unfair expectation to use a blanket statement like other cities, pretty much the top 20 cities, mm-hmm. do street sweeping on a regular mm-hmm. basis. Like, what does that exactly mean? I've actually studied all of these cities because it's part of my job if we're going to bring street sweeping back to kind of do this kind of research. And it comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, Baltimore, that he referenced, they do their downtown, just like we have partnerships with the CDC or with Center City District, to do that. But they're doing once a month in their neighborhoods, you know, asking people to move. There's other cities that are doing twice a year, once a year. Some residential neighborhoods, they have to petition to get it. It comes in all different shapes and sizes. And I think that the way the argument's been framed is it makes it seem like every city around the country has regular street sweeping every week in every part of their city. And that's just not true when you actually look at the data on what they're actually doing in other cities, which we can learn a lot from. And the last part is that the thought that street sweeping is the silver bullet that was going to solve all these problems. And I can unequivocally say if we just came out of the gate when the action plan was released and went straight to street sweeping, mm-hmm. it would have been an unmitigated disaster. We would have failed completely on this plan because there are so many structural and systemic things that I'm sure we're going to talk about that we needed to put in place to get to a place where street sweeping is the piece that sustains right. a stable situation. And I think we've done a lot of work in the last year to get to that stable situation.
But why is Philadelphia so dirty, so trash strewn? I have a friend that moved into the city recently, into South Philly, and he was shocked about how much trash he saw on the street.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, you know, again, we've spent a lot of time running data. We did an entire litter index of the city. We're right. doing it again with six different departments, which when we talk to other neighbor, like other like partner cities, we talk to New York, we talk to LA, when they talk about all the work, we said, you know, what did you guys do to, like, what helps you keep your city clean? they bring up the litter index. That was the key to unlocking the data set that you needed to make this work. It was the most important. They didn't say street sweeping. They didn't say trash cans. That's what they said.
Which is to basically look at the city, figure out where – essentially where the litter is.
Where the problem is, exactly, and get the real data that we can use strategically to work on. When you asked about why – you know, Philadelphia has many unique challenges, right? We're a very old city. We have very dense populations. We still have a lot of corner store culture. You know, when people bring up other – like cities even from like the Midwest or the West Coast, you know, there's more residential kind of areas that the houses are more spread out. There's more places to store your trash. We don't have that in Philadelphia. So when I look at it, I would say a majority of the trash that we see really comes from how trash is managed in the city, when how people are putting it out curbside. Mm-hmm. Again, Ryan brought up the issue of, you know, people dumping their household trash in a Big Belly or on a vacant lot. And then that just illegal contractor dumping that has just been for years. People know this is where the dumping spot is, and we are very, very aggressively going after that to stop that from happening. So that all happening, I would say the person who throws the, you know, little bit of litter on the ground, I mean, that's a very small percentage of the litter that you actually see on the street. A lot of it comes from systemic and structural issues that we are trying to face.
And I want to pick up on all of that, but let me get Mike Newell in on the conversation here. How do you see this problem, and how do you see the city dealing with it or not?
I see it as that far too many neighborhoods in the city just don't have an understanding of or live in the reality where their streets are swept every day.
Their streets are not swept every day?
Oh, yeah, not every day or once a quarter, whatever it may be. But I'm glad Nick pointed out that the city does some street sweeping along our major corridors and does fund some great partnerships. But we live in a city where it's dirty. It's filthy. And the city is not doing enough to provide the basic service of cleaning the streets. If it's not once, twice a month, once a quarter. I live in South Philadelphia as well. I love my block. I love my neighbors. We all do our part. One of us out once a weekend is out there usually sweeping. Some of that stuff you would need a spacesuit to
just
pick up with.
Because of the kind of trash we're talking about.
Yeah, and we live by a high school, and these are big, growing kids who are in sports and who are walking around, hitting a corner shop up, and there's no trash cans. Okay. How long can you expect a kid to, you know, hold on to that potato chip bag? So I don't think and Nick makes a great point that there are big systemic issues that we need to attack, short dumping and industrial dumping, all of that. But at the same time, this has gone past the point, far past the point, of whether or not a citizen is doing enough. The city needs to step up, get those machines rolling, and provide a basic service, whether it's once a month, four times a quarter,
you're talking
a
about
year.
Street sweeping, bring
yes.
back street sweeping.
And I'm glad that Nick and others are finding are going through all the data and figuring it out. At the same time, I think this isn't an and/or situation. I think we could be moving faster on different fronts mm-hmm. by attacking not only the bigger short dumping and other things, but also providing a basic service, and especially in a lot of neighborhoods where it would, I think, would not have the ability to do it or the funds to do it
themselves.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this is something that we're a city with a lot of big problems, and we have a lot of ambitious answers, and it just seems to me that we're past the point where we can't come up with one for this.
Let me read a bunch of comments mm-hmm. here, and then, Nick, I'll get back to you. This one from Councilman Kenyatta Johnson. We're looking to bring engaged citizens from South and Southwest Philadelphia together on a second district clean and green advisory board to work on an itemized list and strategic action plan to take up the city's agencies and administration to help clean up the streets. You're nodding there, Nick. An email from Dave from West Philly. It was disappointing on last week's interview with Mayor Kenney blaming citizens for the trash situation without offering any municipal-based solution. I have seen our neighbors rally to address this issue. Nick, let me go back to you, but it seems to me that the picking up trash is a basic city service. And trash can be tied to crime, to quality of life, to property values. I mean, there's so many ways that cleanliness or the lack of cleanliness can really hurt a city.
I mean, well, so we do pick up trash from 540,000 households every week. We also pick up – we have the Community Life Improvement Program, the Streets Department, and other – the Parks and Rec, the Water Department that are picking up illegal dumps. And I am happy to say so. Again, we're trying to we're looking at these trends, and it's a little too early to tell to say exactly the work that we've been doing in a more coordinated fashion, which was the point of why the cabinet started. But we are actually seeing decreases in how much short dumping we are picking up right now.
And short dumping, are people just essentially dumping mattresses?
Well, that could be any. It could be a clean out from a, you know, a eviction that's a mattress, or it could be someone dumping household trash around, or a contractor that dumps tires. And we could talk about all those different pieces. But, you know, to get back to what Mike was saying, I mean, I feel, you know, first off, I think we've been moving at a pretty incredible pace. If you look at – so we just released our progress report. It's on cleanphl.org. You can read all about it. We had 31 recommendations that we've set out. When I go out to community meetings and I run down those recommendations, people say, yeah, that's exactly – that's what we need to do. Street sweeping was one of them. We, in 16 months of putting that action plan together, we are 81% of the way either completed or in progress of our recommendations. I think that's a pretty rapid clip that we're working on. We've passed six pieces of key legislation and worked on that with City Council to make that happen. Again, as I can, Councilman Johnson was talking about, working using the litter index to know what neighborhoods do we have to go into. We worked closely with his office on a neighborhood litter control plan in Southwest Philadelphia and looking at the holistic pieces of the issue. So if I went to somebody and said, what would you rather have me do? Figure out how we can get more trash cans, which we have worked on. I could talk all about that as well.
Sure.
On your street, or sweep your block once every quarter. What would you rather have, right? I mean, we could sweep and then 2 days later it goes back to looking how it did.
But is it an either or situation?
It's not an either or. And like I said, I think getting to a stable place where we're able to have better infrastructure put in, which is what the cabinet's been working on with our partners, mainly the streets department, but all the other great operating departments and agencies. These are the things that we had to kind of to work on, to put into place to make something like that work. It is a pretty sizable investment.
Go ahead, Mike. It looks like you want to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I think that I applaud Nick and his colleagues on all they're doing, but a lot of these things I think are things that would be much easier to applaud for if they were on top of getting the streets clean, on top of providing that basic basis and not putting it more on residents. And I think this hasn't been what city officials have been talking about. This is not what Nick is saying today. It's not been the talking points. The talking points has been what you heard last week in an interview, which is, hey, you know, South Philadelphia councilman tried this and there was upheaval. There was, you know, there was near rioting in the streets and the man almost lost his seat. Well, the reality was there was some strongly worded letters to the South Philadelphia Review, and Councilman DiCicco faced the existential crisis that only a Philly Democrat could face, was that he won by 30 percentage points and not 60.
As opposed to 60.
I think we live in a city right now where lots of folks, old and new residents, would very much appreciate the type of support of getting their neighborhood a little bit cleaner. And I also think when we look at what this administration is doing on so many fronts, whether it's the soda tax, whether it's Sanctuary City, whether it's the school district, whether it's the mayor being willing to have tough conversations like taking down the Frank Rizzo statue, the idea that this has something to do with a councilman from 15 years ago, it just doesn't hold up, that all of this, you know, this leadership that we're seeing in our city comes to a screeching halt when it comes to parking in South Philly. It just seems to be an excuse. So I'm really glad to hear this type of the conversation going in this direction.
Let me just get a couple of callers. I'm sure you want to say something, Nick, but let me get – we got a lot of people, as I said, want to join our conversation. Looks like we've got Gordon from West Philadelphia. Gordon, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say as a – yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
I want to say as a business owner in West Philly and also a real estate investor, I think that litter represents sort of the past and sort of the future. And I know that may sound strange. I think that when you walk down Baltimore Avenue – you see that there's a lot of young people throwing trash, soda cans and chip bags. I think it represents a massive disinvestment that they feel in their own community. And also similarly, I think it represents the future. I don't think it's just a cosmetic issue. We have neighborhoods in the city that are very hot because they have a lot of young people, a lot of people with money who are moving in, and you have a lot of neighborhoods that are not seeing any development. And the reason for some of that is because people who have options are terrified by all of this litter on the street. They, as a result, there's not economic opportunities that are coming to certain areas. And as a result, long-term, 20 or 30 years later, the tax base is impacted significantly. Well, so, it, you know, I think a lot of people think it's just a cosmetic issue. I think it's a deep economic issue that has a huge impact going forward.
I hear you, Gordon. And let me give Nick Esposito a chance to respond. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the litter index and you kind of put that over the tracks, I mean, the census tracks of where we're seeing like poverty issues and things in the communities, it does overlay. But I make a very, and I've said this in other interviews, a really strong case that it is, I think, wrong and unfair to equate poverty with litter and trash. Litter is an issue that is faced across the board. So, you know, when you go through places like, you know, where there's struggling economies and things like that in parts of the city, and you find there's blocks that are really clean, right? And a lot of times that has to do because there's a block captain on that block, and there's, you know, home ownership, and there's like the certain structures that are there that kind of keep it that way. So that's the hard thing part about Philadelphia too, is like I said, the way the city's rolled out, especially around when it comes to the street sweeping issue, it's not all cut and dry. Like, we have these very like nice and, you know, clean, like this is where this commercial corridor is and this is where it's residential. It's all mixed in. So that's something that we really need to kind of take a look at as we go through and work on these issues. And to be fair, just to Mike's point, because I just want to get back to that. Sure. When he was talking about, I mean, when the mayor was on the show, I mean, it was a pretty, and it was a great interview, but it was pretty wide sweeping. You were talking about a lot of different things, right? So to kind of have that piece that he stopped, I mean, really it was just about street sweeping, right? And like I said, street sweeping is not the magic bullet that's going to clean up this city. And if given the time and there was more questions that were coming there, I'm sure he would have gotten more into the work that we're doing around illegal dumping, the work that we're the things that
but
we are
trying
to maintain.
But are you saying that street sweeping is coming back in some form?
So like I said, it was part of our recommendations. And right now we are looking at a possible pilot program, hopefully in the spring. We're putting it together through the, you know, the cabinet, managing director's office, streets department, and the administration of what that looks like. So there'll be, you know, more details to come. And as I said, of all the things that we had to do to put into place to kind of get the right data, start going on those structural things, I'd love to. I can't wait for our caller later to talk about what we're doing around illegal dumping. Now comes the time that we can start looking into those. It's a strategy, and it can't be rushed through kind of an impatience type.
Do we know where this is going to be, the pilot program?
We don't. So, but the thing is, using the litter index to do it, right? And the part about the litter index and the equity issue is it really gets away from that whole, you know, concept of the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? It's how can we really look at the data and say, this is where we need to go. To Councilman DeChico's, or Mr. DeChico, not, you know, former councilman's, you know, defense as well. I mean, they didn't have this kind of information back when he was doing that, right? He put it up. It's once a week. We're going to put up signs. We're going to make people move their cars, right? And there is kind of hypotheticals there that he didn't end up doing it. And that's when the election happened. Who knows what would have happened? So there are certain aspects of that. So to have better information, better data, I think we can come up with
a feasible very quickly, plan. Mike, only just because we're up on a break, but we'll carry on after the break.
Not to demean the efforts of the Litter Index, but I will do a great, you know, I can tell you right now the city's filthy, right? And the Litter Index, I mean, helps us understand a little bit more of where that is. But I also think the idea that they keep talking about this as a silver bullet, a panacea, no one's saying that. And that's not an excuse. That's not a reason why not to do it. No one's saying it's going to cure all of our litter problems. But saying it's relieving the most basic service off the table when we're not doing it.
Let's take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Mike Newell. He's a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also with us, Nick Esposito. He's the Zero Waste and Litter Director for the City of Philadelphia. And we are talking about Philadelphia and its litter problem. 1-888-477-9499. Radio Times at WHYY.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, and we're talking about Philadelphia's litter problem and what can be done about it. And joining us now is Leonard Stewart. He's a board member of the Eastwick Friends and Neighbors Coalition. And Leonard Stewart, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Tell for our listeners what part of Philadelphia you represent.
I represent the Eastwick section. We're right near the Philadelphia airport. We basically, our boundary, I would say, is from 70th Street all the way up to all the way up to the Hines Refuge.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
You've been listening in. What are the main problems in your neighborhood of Eastwick when it comes to trash and things like illegal dumping?
Our major issue is illegal dumping, and we've been in existence for the last 6 years. And in the last 6 years, we have made some progress along the way. Some of the ways which we was able to curtail some of the illegal dumping was we was finally able to get barricades, because we have quite a few cul-de-sac streets that they never quite finished developing. And short haulers, they know these areas, and they would constantly go back there and dump. So it took us many years to finally get barricades up there. However, they still go to a certain degree up to the barricades and dump.
Wow. And tell us, what are they dumping, Leonard Stewart?
Well, most of the dumping seems to be construction debris. There's a lot of short haulers. They know exactly where to dump. Instead of going to the dump and paying money, they'll come out to this community. This has been the culture for many years. And also one of the biggest problems we have is tires. At one time, they were dumping tractor-trailer loads of tires in the community. And like I said before, they don't want to pay the money to go someplace and dump it legally. So they will dump it illegally. So we have had the streets department, redevelopment department, from time to time come and collect all the illegal dumping.
Wow.
And it's still an ongoing problem. And the biggest problem is that there is no enforcement. You know, we have some dedicated residents which we ride around during the day, and we more or less stop them from doing illegal dumping. However, at night is the problem. We've talked to the 12th District. We have asked to have people come out there, some officers come out there maybe at night and see if they can do something to stop the dumping. You know, we just don't need signs saying no dumping. Putting signs up there saying no dumping, it's like telling the thief don't steal, and that's their livelihood is to steal. So putting signs up there is not the correct. That doesn't solve the problem.
Well, and Mr. Stewart, if you don't mind just holding on, only because I'm, as you're talking, I'm looking at Nick Esposito, who is sitting across from me. And here we are. Here's a neighborhood known for a repository for illegal dumping. What can the city do to help Eastwood?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Stewart, for bringing this up. And all
how
work.
You doing, Nick?
It's good to hear from you. Good to hear from you.
Small town here.
Yeah. So, and all the great work that's going on in Eastwood. So, you know, again, this is just to kind of put back the mic. I mean, this is the stuff I hear when I go out to communities, right? This is the stuff that people are suffering through. That's why so much of my time as directing this cabinet and the cabinet's work and what the managing director's been looking to is this issue, right? And
illegal
not
dumping.
Not mutually exclusive, right? We have looked at the street sweeping, but illegal dumping. So, what we're doing on illegal dumping, just to give you some hope, is you said about the no enforcement. Enforcement has been a challenge, right? There's many issues that we face as a city when it comes to, you know, homicides, burglaries, things like that. But what happens is when you catch an illegal dumper, right, like what's the prosecution part of it, right? So when we started looking into this and looking at, okay, what are the gaps? What are the holes? And how can we better this situation? We found that, you know, part of it is being able to catch the person, but actually it's about how do you actually prosecute that person a much more, substantial way. So I'll say to you to give you some hope, and I will put all contractors and people on notice who do illegal dumping in the city. So through the work of the cabinet, through a lot of coordination, through the police department and the administration, we have created an environmental crimes unit within major crimes in the police department. This unit has detectives that have investigative powers that can go through and not just catch somebody and give them a small, like, you know, fine or a ticket for illegal dumping, but really sophisticated investigations to get back to the heart where we can actually give people heavy fines, take vehicles, you know, go after business licenses, really kind of get to the heart of who's doing this dumping, where it's coming from, and how we're going to stop them from doing it. And that is a major key thing. Again, that was no small feat to do all that coordination to make that happen, working through our camera network, making sure we're getting the evidence that comes in. Right, just since it started, I mean, again, I was just looking at the case tracker the other day because we go over these cases. Another great part is we have the DA's office in the room with us as we do this, so we're talking through what has been charged, what is going through, like, so we can make sure that the prosecutions are all lining up. And I mean, it's been, you know, we've seen arrests. We have over a dozen active investigations right now. And this has just been a couple months that we've been doing this on major dumps. So again, some hope that you have down there in Eastwick, the ways that we are aggressively going after this. If I can, I could talk
very
about
briefly.
Tires very briefly, just on tires. And then looking forward to real strategic ways to solve this. So, you know, Mr. Stewart brought up the tire issue. So we can't just keep cleaning tires up. Even if we catch people, we're not going to arrest our way out of the problem. We need better regulation of those industries. So Councilwoman Sanchez, and working with the cabinet this past fall, was able to put forth legislation that creates a tire dealer license. So all tire dealers in the city, starting in the summer, will have to get a license to do business. They'll have to keep who their hauler is, so who's hauling their tires away. They have to keep manifest of what's coming in and what's coming out of the tires. So if we do see something going wrong with the shop, we can investigate. This is long-term systemic changes to stop tires from getting dumped in the first place. And that's the work that we've been doing for the last year on the cabinet.
Leonard Stewart, let me get you back up on the air and get a response from you. Does this give you some confidence about your neighborhood?
Well, two questions. Number one, I was looking on the website. It seemed like your plan stopped at 72nd Street. Why didn't it come all the way up to Southwest Philly? I mean, all the way at the end of Southwest Philly, where we are. I just noticed that you're doing all your enforcement, and it stops at 72nd Street. We need help up here in Eastwick. I mean, we've heard this many times. We've asked to, you know, to have more protection up here. We've asked for surveillance cameras. I was on the phone with Cliff the other day. They said they don't have the funding for surveillance cameras. We've asked our legislators about surveillance cameras. We did everything that's humanly possible. We need help out here. We have people saying they're going to help us, we can do this, but so far nothing has happened. I want you to give me some contacts and let us get, so both of us, we can be on the same page so we can start with some enforcement with some real teeth to solve this problem out here in Eastwick.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And Mr. Stewart, I'm looking at the clock and we're going to have to say goodbye. I do want to give Nick a chance to respond to what you just said there. But I do appreciate you telling us about your neighborhood and the importance of dealing with this problem of illegal dumping. Nick, very quickly.
Sure. And really quickly, what he was referencing is, so we are conducting neighborhood litter control plans. You can see them on our website. And what we did was we kind of, you know, went through the city and kind of sectioned it up into different geographic areas that we were able to run litter indexing to find what are the worst hit neighborhoods. So the plan that he's referencing was geared mostly in Southwest Philadelphia. It's from, I think, 49th to 72nd, and then that part of Southwest. So that's where we had concentrated on work, but that's not to say, again, mutually exclusive.
We need help.
Yes. So, you know, as Eastwick was a little lower on the where we actually saw the litter problems, we have other neighborhoods that we're going to, but that's not to say that we're not here to help. So I can definitely connect with Mr. Stewart offline and talk about, you know, some of the issues that he has down there. I do that with communities all over the city, even as we're doing our neighborhood litter control plans, which are more comprehensive planning in neighborhoods.
Leonard Stewart, I really appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times. He's a board member of the Eastwick Friends and Neighbors Coalition. Mike, any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think to Nick's point, you know, I live in a trash-strewn neighborhood. I work every week in trash-strewn neighborhoods. And I think what I hear from residents is, yes, they want help from illegal dumping, but they're equally dismayed and distressed when they look across a lot and see mattresses and couches, and they look in the street and see trash blowing and street gutters that look like trash cans themselves. There are some facts that aren't debatable in this. We are a filthy city, right? Our neighborhoods need help, like Mr. Stewart said. We are also the hungriest city. We're also the biggest, the poorest big city. We have an opioid crisis that outpaces any other city in the nation, big city in the nation. This is a thing that our residents live with, that while we go to tackle those big, huge problems, we can tackle this on many fronts, this trash problem. We can make many strides, I think. So I'm not trying to negate any of the city's efforts on illegal dumping. I just don't think they have to be in competition or against each other. This is a problem that residents in some of the poorest, hungriest cities in the nation live with every day. And like Mr. Stewart said, they need help, and they need it now.
Let me read some more comments here. One from Richard. He said, aside from litter on the streets, is the trashy view riders on the regional rail system get when coming into 30th Street Station? Trash and junk litter the railroad right along the stretch of railroad. I think the people who live in the houses there dump stuff behind their houses down to the railroad bed. A tweet from Allison. When I worked at University City District, we tried a program with a few fourth grade classes to have kids take pictures of trash in their environment. It turned out that many didn't even see the trash, even though it's all around them. A tweet from Andy. Frequent street cleaning is not just about cleaner streets. It's also about reining in Philly's out-of-control illegal parking, plus the practice of our streets being free long-term storage facilities. There's nothing normal about being able to leave a boat parked for free on the street for a year. So obviously, street sweeping is one thing, but it also leads to many other things. But let me just narrow it down back to you, Nick. And Mike talked about some of the serious problems facing the city. It does feel as if picking up trash has to be easier to fix than the opioid crisis.
Well, I don't want to compare the two to that, but I will say that, you know, as complex as the opioid issue is, there's an extreme complexity to why trash happens on our streets. And to kind of, you know, to Mike's point, you know, we see this, and this is what our studies have done. That's why we did a behavioral study on what happens when you add trash cans or decrease trash cans. That's what happens when we did studies on what happens when you have, like, lidded trash cans. So some of the things that we've been doing, taking in all that data, taking in the litter index to you know, exciting prospects that we've been working on. One is the streets department starting a pilot. It's going to be happening very soon, where they'll be giving trash cans with lids to community members. They will be
for
able
the
to,
street. They
yes,
keep on the street
as long as a community, as the whole block signs up. They're doing it right now in like the North Philly section near Temple. That as long as 75% of the block signs up to want to do this, you can store your trash can outside. It's a nice municipal bin with a lid. Now, I give the streets department tons of kudos on this because we're not micromanagers here in the cabinet. We are here to provide information, provide data, and inspire with ideas. They were able to take that and run with it to put cans out where – and they took it – Baltimore's doing a similar thing, so they looked at what they did. And really trying to think through if they put these cans out, right? This is sometimes if you don't have good trash storage in a small row house, you don't have a side yard, you don't have an alley, where are you going to put your trash, right? This is a solution to that problem. Another thing that we also did was the idea of community cans. That's on our website as well. It's not about just putting a bunch of cans out. It's not about how much the city, you know, can manage these trash cans, right? A city like even New York that has all the lots of money, they're even having problems with having to take trash cans away because they're getting abused and getting dumped on. So we're looking at how do we actually bring community more into this? And that's the program that we did using, again, our behavioral science, using our litter indexing, and using kind of community partnerships to be able to do this, to think about how we can get – because most of the trash you're seeing, I would say, as I said before, is from – you know, it's dumping around trash cans, it's improper set outs, people putting their trash out in these crazy ways. If we can rein that in, we're not going to have the same amount of trash that you see on the thing, and that's really going to make street sweeping much more easy.
Let me get looks like Ogiana calling us from South Philadelphia, and go ahead, you are on Radio Times. We're almost out of time, Ogiana, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
My name is Obona Hagens. I'm a known as Philly Green Man in the city. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why people are dumping mattresses. The city council passed legislation a few years ago that you have to have your mattresses wrapped in order for the sanitation workers to take them, and it costs to have them wrapped. So it's easier for a lot of people, not that it's right, for them to dump the mattresses as opposed to having to go out, buy a mattress cover in order to have it taken. And I've noticed over the years that there's been an exorbitant amount of mattresses being thrown out around the city.
Well, I appreciate the call. I'm looking at you, Mike. I just want to make sure there's equal time here. Anything you want to say in response?
Well, I just go back to what Nick was saying, and I think I don't want to be the guy standing in the way of science. I think it's excellent that we're doing all these studies. I think these studies would be, again, it's hard to see these studies as something
this when is you the litter
don't
index.
Have, yeah, when you don't have, when you're not providing a service that allows everyday residents who are dealing with such bigger problems, who don't have the funding, many of them, to come together and get to kind of street cleaning that other neighborhoods have. When you're not providing that, and we're talking about studies that remove garbage cans and do this and do that, that's all great. If it was on top of a basic service that the city is long past the need for, it's not a silver bullet. It just needs to happen now, and it's something that I think is way past due. And the talk of studies just seems to be a little frivolous.
But those studies, they led to tangible outcomes, right? They led to tangible pilot programs that we are doing right now to try to solve this issue. That's why we did them in the first place.
But yeah, those studies about taking away or adding garbage cans in neighborhoods that are still filled with – that are still overrun with trash, whether or not the garbage cans are there or not, right?
But
so, I mean, it's again, do the studies. Start the trucks. I'll drive one. I'll be very happy to do it. And then let's keep doing those studies, and I'll write about every one of those studies, and I'll be glad when I see the truck running down Mifflin Street.
Let me read some more comments here. We could go on back and forth here. An email from Adam, an organization called City Bright Philadelphia has been working on addressing this issue with a simple idea: pay the homeless to clean the streets. An email from Charles, trash begets trash, and people make trash. This just isn't a culture. There just isn't a culture of individual responsibility for keeping the street area clean. An email from Adam, it's very easy not to litter. Can fines, perhaps large ones consistently enforced, play a bigger part in curtailing litter? A Facebook message from Amadi: I live in West Palton neighborhood, rapidly gentrifying. Litter here is mostly created by new residents in multi-unit buildings who don't put out trash properly. We're almost out of time here, Nick. I'm just going to give you 15 seconds to wrap things up. Unfair, I realize.
That's a lot to unpack there.
It is.
I will say a lot of what was addressed in there, you can go to cleanphl.org, look at the waste plan or the Zero Waste and Litter Action Plan, look at our progress report, look at all the things we've done, the tangible outcomes that come from the data, came from the studies that we've done, and we're excited because I think we are moving in the right direction, and we are excited for more. more updates as we move along.
Well, we could do a part two because clearly there's a lot more to talk about. Nick Esposito, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Zero Waste and Litter Director for the City of Philadelphia, Mike Newell, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you for having me.
And he's a columnist.
Thank you, Nick.
Columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And thank you for all your comments. And I'm sorry we couldn't get everyone on the air here. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out more about the program. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moscowain. Thanks for joining us.